Chapter 4. Atonement Atrocities. Epigraph. The Bible indicates that for 3 days, Jesus went into the very depths of hell, right into the enemy's own territory, and he did battle with Satan face to face. Can you imagine what a showdown that was? It was good versus evil, right versus wrong, holiness versus filth. Here, the two most powerful forces in the universe have come together to do battle for the first time in history. But thank God. The Bible says Satan was no match for our champion. This was no contest. Jesus crushed Satan's head with his foot. He bruised his head, and he once and for all, forever defeated and dethroned and demoralized our enemy. Joel Osteen. Before delving into the atonement atrocities forwarded by Joel Osteen, let me take a moment to forge a working definition of atonement. Simply put, atonement means that Christ, in his sacrificial death upon the cross, dealt completely with the problem of humanity's sin. Upon the cross, he redeemed sinners from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. As such, Christ, the paragon of virtue, is the sacrificial lamb upon whom the sins of the world were laid. While practically he was perfect and sinless, positionally he was accounted as sinful in that all of our sin was laid to his account. Conversely, while we are practically sinners, all of his righteousness is imputed to those who place their trust in him. Thus, through his atoning sacrifice, we are accounted as positionally righteous before God. I cannot emphasize too strongly that the atonement of Christ upon Calvary's cross is crucial to the historic Christian faith. Indeed, the word crucial comes from the Latin word crux, or cross. Thus, in saying that the atonement is the crux of Christianity, I'm saying that just as the cross stands at the center of all history, so our understanding of the atonement is central to the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. And tampering with this precious truth is as direct a pathway from Christianity into the kingdom of the cults as can be imagined. Indeed, virtually all cults and all world religions in one way or another deny the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of the sinless sacrifice of Christ upon the cross alone. In light of this most precious sacrifice, it is tragic to think that anyone would blatantly tamper with the centrality of Christ's salvific work. Yet this is precisely what Joel Osteen has done. He dogmatically contends that it was in hell, not on the cross, that our salvation was secured. As such, he has transferred the saving work of Christ from the cross to the deepest dungeons of hell. While Jesus said it is finished, Joel says it has just begun. And this despite the fact that the Greek word tetelestai quite literally means it is paid, the debt has been paid in full. And as with the heresy, the timing of its communication is more than noteworthy. During the very season that we celebrate the resurrection of the one who conquered death in the grave, Osteen, in dramatic fashion, tells his worldwide audience that Jesus did not finish the work of redemption on the cross. While Scripture says Jesus made a public spectacle of the devil and his demons, triumphing over them by the cross, Joel says Jesus triumphed over the demonic hordes in hell. While the Bible tells us that our Savior has always had control of death and hell, Joel says Jesus had to rip the keys of death and hell out of Satan's hands. And against the whole counsel of Scripture, Osteen pontificates that in hell, the two most powerful forces in the universe have come together to do battle for the first time in history. In an imaginative reconstruction that has no basis in the Bible, Osteen transitions the triumph of the cross into the corridors of hell. There Jesus, quote, did battle with Satan face to face. In direct contradiction of the biblical text, when Jesus bowed his head and died on the cross, Osteen says, Satan and all those demons, they gathered in hell for a great victory celebration. I can imagine it looks something like the victory party in the locker room after the Super Bowl. In the end, however, the Savior overwhelms Satan and ripped the keys of death and hell out of Satan's hands. And he then grabbed Satan by the nape of the neck, and he began to slowly drag him down the corridors of hell, all beat up and bruised, because he wanted to make sure that every single demon saw very clearly that Jesus was indeed the undisputed champion of all time. It's almost inconceivable that anyone, particularly someone who takes the sacred name of Christ upon his lips, would so blatantly reconstruct the centrality of Christ's atonement upon the cross. And yet, in the face of Scripture, which plainly tells us that by his death, Jesus destroyed him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, Osteen has Christ in the cauldron of hell, finishing the work of redemption. Incredibly, in Osteen's revision of Scripture, even Christ's victory in hell was insufficient to atone for our sins. After the resurrection, he says there still had to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. There still had to be a price paid. That is why Jesus presented his own blood in the high court of heaven as a sacrifice for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Indeed, according to Osteen, that is precisely the reason that Jesus commanded Mary not to touch him after the resurrection. Why didn't Jesus want Mary to touch him? asked Osteen. I'll tell you what it was. Jesus had just risen from the grave, and he still had his holy blood on him. It was his blood he was going to use as a sacrifice for our sins. Well, in reality, nothing could be farther from the truth. Far from having some sort of magical efficacy, the blood of Jesus Christ is emblematic of the death of Jesus Christ. Nor is there any warrant to suggest that sometime between his encounter with Mary and his encounter with Thomas, Jesus went to heaven to sprinkle his blood upon the mercy seat. Instead, believers throughout the ages have celebrated the precious sacrament of communion as the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of sin. It was not Christ's triumph over Satan in the cauldron of hell that atoned for sin. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, not Satan into your clutches I submit my spirit. Nor did the debt remain unpaid until Christ ascended into heaven. The debt for all sin, past, present, and future, was paid by Christ's passion upon the cross. And with his passion complete, no further debt remained to be discharged in this world or the next. I should note here that some have wrongly argued that the notion that Christ went to hell is consistent with the beliefs of the early church fathers. In doing so, they inevitably invoke the phrase, He descended into hell, from ancient Christian creeds. This, however, is hardly convincing. But even if the phrase, he descended into hell, was invoked by the early Christian church, the intent was not to communicate that Jesus finished the work of redemption there. If the church tells us anything through its history, it is that early Christians celebrated the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of their sins. Put another way, to say that Jesus descended into hell may well be wrong, but it's not heretical. Conversely, however, to replace redemption on the cross with redemption in the corridors of hell is an atonement atrocity, amounting to full-blown heresy.
This concludes Disc 1. Please insert Disc 2 to continue the Osteenification of American Christianity.